are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to remind you guys, too, if you hear those ads playing during the break, Right Side Radio is a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves, and part of the way we sustain our operations is through advertising. So if you hear those ads, think about this. If you're a Right Side ruffian and you have goods or services from your own business you'd like to sell, well, we got an entire audience made up of tens of thousands of ruffians who may rather buy from you than somebody else. So all I'm saying is this, if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we have a captive audience and you may want to get on board. So all you got to do, you don't contact the station, you contact us directly. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. You can click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message and Lauren from Right Side will be on that like white on rice, man. She will give you all the information you need. So yeah, you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org. A couple more text messages. I think this one relates to my dipper I'm about to do. Russell from Rural Route 1. There's my hardest, I have the hardest time saying that. Russell from Rural Route 1. My gosh, Russell, is that where you have to live? Anyway, he says, you need to get the Bill Malugin Fox News report on the Biden executive order on the border. I don't have the clip, brother, but I saw it. And I think you're talking about the one where he stood there talking to whole groups of illegals coming across, asking them where they're from, and it was all over the world. I remember seeing Mauritania, China, I think there was like India, Venezuela. It was nuts. David from Athens says, David from Bucky's here. He says, Phil, I guess you know by now that California's in the process of banning all plastic bags at retail outlets. They found out that just banning single-use bags wasn't enough. Oh, good. California lawmakers vote to ban reusable plastic bags at grocery stores. Well, that's going to go swimmingly. Wonder how much it costs to make the bags that people have to buy to then bring back with them to the store. And then lastly, Jerry from Decatur says, what if Roe v. Wade had never happened? Would this nation still be looking for 55 million plus warm bodies from who knows where to cover their evil mistakes? There would be no employment problems. We would also not have to answer to God for why we allowed it to continue the way it did. All right, let me jump on in here. Bordering on insanity. That's where I am right now. Bordering on insanity. This dipper is about the southern border. And y'all, I just, every time I think I've seen it all, good gosh, here we go again. So if you did not hear, there was an executive order signed by the president yesterday. I think this is his 95th executive order. 95th. But if you remember, think back. When he took office, he went straight to the Oval Office. He sat down and there was a stack of leather binders and him with a whole bunch of pens. And he began signing executive orders, just having a big old time, man. Just signing those orders. Give me another one. What you got? I'll sign that. What's it say? I don't care. Sign it. Just signing executive orders like there was no tomorrow. Like if every signature was worth a nickel, the man's rich. There's that. But anyway, the bottom line is this. He signed a new executive order yesterday. Pray tell, Phil, what could it be? Well, you know what my dipper is. I'm talking about, bordering on insanity. President Biden has just taken it upon himself to enter an executive order about the southern border. You mean he just figured out he could do this, or what's the deal? Anyway, theblaze.com has the first piece that I'll bring to your attention. The Biden administration issued a set of executive actions that would temporarily suspend entry for non-citizens. And the bottom line is this. It's really a highly ineffective executive order. See if you can decipher this with me. If the average number of border encounters exceeds 2,500 in a seven-day period, entry to non-citizens would be suspended until 14 days after a seven-day average of 1,500 border encounters. Okay, what? According to Fox News, by the way, he's already exceeded that. So basically, if they're at 2,500 a day for seven straight days, he's going to tighten things up at the border. He's not going to close the border. He's not going to immediately deport people. He's just going to, you know, take a few more steps. Okay. But according to Fox News, in the 24 hours before he signed it, the border was seeing 5,200 a day, and it's averaging 5,000 a day for over a week. Okay. The 30-day average for April was 5,990 encounters per day. Okay. So, all right, great. That means he's immediately going to go do something about all these people crossing the border. But let's run the numbers on this, shall we? Gosh, I hate it when facts get in the way of a good story, don't you? So 2,500 a day is a threshold, right? All right, so what if they just make like 2,499? 2,499. That's it. Never quite making the 2,500 cutoff. Whew, that was close. 2,499 daily encounters. That means that he's allowing in 912,000 right up front. His order contemplates the idea that potentially they could look the other way on 912,000 encounters at the border, which would still be higher than any year under President Trump. Jeez. But, hang on, there's more. The Biden administration order does not apply to visa holders, okay, unaccompanied children, those with a medical emergency or imminent threat to their life, or victims of a severe form of trafficking. Okay, so there's a whole group of people out there or groups of people to whom this will not apply. So if you had 2,500 a day, but, you know, 132 of those were unaccompanied minors, it doesn't count yet. We're not there. Oh, okay. It also, by the way, does not apply to those who use the Biden app. What's that? Yes, don't you remember? Customs and Border Patrol now has an app. You can be down in Venezuela. You can be walking your way up through the coastal regions of Mexico. You can be passing through Cozumel and working your way north to the border. And you can just get on the app and apply for asylum. And it will send you back an appointment date. And you get to come on in. Those people don't count. By the way, up to 1,500 people a day are apparently using that app. Oh, hang on. So 912,000 are potentially okay. Another 1,500 a day is going to equal, we're at 1.2 million people. So 1.2 million is still potentially acceptable. No, it's not. This is insane, y'all. Who does this? Who does this and then steps back and goes, look what I did. Don't you see the neat thing I did? Well, I got news. It ain't going to work. By the way, just so you know, 217,000 border encounters per month on average so far this year during the Biden administration. 217,000 plus. You were seeing 70,000 to 80,000 tops during the peak of the issue during the Trump administration. One third. Now, the interesting thing is Biden's losing the fight even with the liberal mainstream media. CNN had a reporter at the border. I'm going to use a clip number two there, bud. CNN had a presentation yesterday of where people stand on this. Because think about this. Why would he do it now? What exactly is happening? Because here's the quote. I'll read you this from Fox. The quote that President Biden issued along with this ridiculous executive order is, "Today I'm moving past Republican obstruction." Really? "And using executive authorities available to me as president to do what I..." You know what? I'm reading far too affirmatively. Let me change that to Biden voice. "Today I'm moving past Republican obstruction." Okay, you get the point. "Using executive authorities available to me as president." What, just now? They just became available? Or did you just figure it out? Which one is it? Did you just now, somebody said, "Hey, sir, I think you can do this." Well, we know you already knew that because you're the one who signed away what Trump was already doing. You, sir, you're the one who signed the executive order that did away with the policies that you're now sort of leaning back into. You knew you could do this. "They're available to me as president." Well, they didn't just become available. You just chose not to use them for 3.5 freaking years. That's where we are. He says, "To me as president, to do what I can on my own to address the border, because I'm the man." Well, he didn't say that part. I said that for him. But even still, a reporter, actually, you know what? I tell you what, Big Rig, let's do this. I want to play that full audio clip, that clip too. It's the one with the pundits on CNN. But why don't we take a break first? Go ahead and steer us towards the break. We'll come back. That way we can do that thing unabated without having to worry about the break. So go ahead and move us to the break there, my brother. We'll do that. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. Oh, yeah. Bordering on insanity. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back to Williams Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower, giving you all the truth you can put on bumper stickers. So, I'm in number one of the triple dipper, bordering on insanity. That's where we are right now with the situation at the southern border. It's insane. Y'all, there's no need to mince words. It's absolutely insane what the Biden administration has allowed to happen. And now they show up, they come swooping in with this executive order like he just figured out, oh yeah, I lost my pen for 3.5 years, but I'm back now. I can sign that. And it makes no sense. And you look at it like, by the way, Randy from Madison, brand new in the text line, texted in, and he gave me the same math that I had a moment ago. 2,500 legals a day is close to 1 million a year. He says that's Alabama math. Well, you're still right, though, brother. You're still right. Alabama math still works, man. Thank you for being in the show, by the way. So it's gotten a lot of attention. Republicans and Democrats have issues with this. Republicans are calling it a stunt because think about this, y'all. Why did he do it now? Maybe it's because he's behind in the polls, and just a few weeks from now, he is doing his first debate with Trump. And he knows for a fact he's got to have something to talk about. And it may be a nothing burger on the big menu of life, but the reality is at least he's got something to talk about now. I took executive action. Yeah, you did. You took executive action on day one when you rescinded all of Trump's policies. All right, but election year stunts. I think he's also seen the numbers. Not the numbers at the border. I think he's seen the numbers in the polls. You got that clip now, man? Let's do that CNN clip, and I may call you to stop it here and there and talk about it. Go ahead and hit it.
Help him with his reelection chances. And how does that play? CNN's Harry Enten has been looking in the numbers. How important, remind folks, how important this issue is for voters?
It's tremendously important. What a difference from where we were 4 years ago at this point. So immigration is the nation's top problem. Back in May of 2020, it was just 1% of voters who said that. It ranked 15th on the list of most important problems in the United States. Look at where we are today, May of 2024, the last poll conducted by Gallup. It's up to 18%, so that's 18 times as high. And more than that, it ranks as the second most important problem. So we've gone from 15th to second. So to me, it's not a huge surprise that President...
Stop right there a second. So what we're seeing, first of all, is this poll running 4 years ago and running again now, polling the same issue, says that immigration, apparently 4 years ago, was like the 15th most important issue in the overall, and now it's number two. It has gone up exponentially. Don't tell me the Biden election team isn't seeing that and panicking. Play it some more.
And Biden is doing what he's doing because the fact is, immigration is at the top of the mind for the American voter.
And sometimes my next question depends on how the question is asked, but who do people trust? Who do voters trust more on this issue?
Yeah, no matter how you phrase it, you will see that more voters today trust former President Trump over President Biden, but the margins can change depending on how it is. So this is a better job on border security and immigration, which tends to be one of former President Trump's best questions. But I think the key thing here, Kate, to look at is the timeline and look at the trend line here. Because back in June of 2020, Biden was actually trusted more on the question of border security and immigration by a single point. Look at where are in May of 2024. My goodness gracious. Look at this huge jump that Donald Trump has gotten. He is now ahead on this issue by 27 percentage points. So it's not just that immigration is more at the top of voters' minds than it was 4 years ago. It's that who they trust on the issue has changed tremendously. I look at
Stop there. How much more of that clip is left? Do we have some more? Yeah, okay. So let me just recap that real quick. Biden sees these numbers too. If this poll is to be believed, and I know you take some polls with a grain of salt, but this is interesting because keep in mind, this is also CNN. Phil, it's CNN. Do we trust them? It's CNN turning on their own guy. That makes this even more interesting. They're not holding back. They're saying not only is this one of the most important issues in the minds of Americans now, it's got an 18-point jump from 4 years ago, but how about this? 4 years ago, they say the same poll showed Biden at a plus one in terms of who people trusted more. This year, 4 years later, Biden went from being a plus one to Trump being a plus 18. Y'all, that's a massive shift. That's an electorate shift right there. That's a plus what?
27. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it says on the screen here.
Play some more of that. I think you're in the next category, but go ahead and play some more.
Questions. I dig into the cross tabs a lot. The fact that you see a 30-point shift, I'm used to seeing 10, 15, maybe 20-point shifts, but basically a 30-point shift, 28 points if you want to be exact, that is very, very different from a lot of other polling questions.
And this issue probably more than any other, you know, this is where Donald Trump's rhetoric is most extreme and most harsh. And that goes for many Republicans with regard to border security and immigration. How do immigrant communities react to this?
Pause it. This is key. She tried to rescue there for a moment. Well, you know, this is where Trump's the most extreme. So how does the immigrant community, the non-Americans who live among us, non-citizens who live among us, how do they feel about that? Because this is where Trump is the most extreme. Keep playing.
Flash to this?
Yeah, it's very interesting to me because I think a lot of Democrats are saying, oh, look at, you know, Donald Trump, look at what we call anti-immigration rhetoric. There's going to be some backlash. I'm not quite sure that's exactly right. And I've been keeping a track on this. So this is who U.S. voters born outside of the country, so, you know, people who might be born in France, people who might be born in Mexico, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who do they prefer for president? Well, this is quite something. It's a number that always seems to surprise me, no matter how often I look at it. In fact, they slightly more of them support Donald Trump at 47% than Joe Biden at 44%.
No.
Again, this is a change from where we were in 2020, because those voters who were born outside the United States prefer Joe Biden. But in this case, no sign of a backlash.
Okay, stop. That's enough of that clip. That's enough of that. But that is fascinating. Maybe some of y'all are going, Phil, I don't really care. I do. I find this fascinating. So here's the deal. People who can't vote, you wonder, why do we care what they think? Well, because it gives us a flavor for the day that we can just sort of sink our teeth into. You know what I'm saying? Because look at this. There's all this talk about you're cruel. You don't care about the people who come to our country that need help. And yet the people who are here that are polled are saying that they support Trump more than Biden. Why do you think that is? Because they can see chaos. That's why. They didn't come here for chaos. They didn't come here. They came here for a better life. Now, they may not have come here legally, and we might wish they weren't here, but the fact is, generally speaking, they either came here to commit crimes or they came here for a better life, and the ones who came here to commit crimes are probably not the ones answering surveys. So the ones who answer surveys that came here for a better life are finding themselves trusting Trump more. Why? Because they didn't come here to live among chaos. And we are bordering on insanity right now. Listen, we're gonna come right back. I got more of this. This is I'm gonna dig in. Y'all are getting a deep dive today, bordering on insanity. Listen, you're gonna be so equipped for these water cooler conversations and folks who ask you what your thoughts are on the southern border. I got you squared away. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. We're still in Dipper number one. I'm calling it bordering on insanity. That's where we are. Our southern border is bordering on insanity. Now listen, so President Biden, he realized yesterday he could do an executive order. Wait a minute. Who's got the pen? I got to do this. It's very important, you understand, because it made all the more so because it took him 3.5 years to figure it out. But what we're watching right now is there's, you know, Biden is quick to call everything he does a whole of government approach. Well, that's probably a pretty accurate description, because we're finding that the issues that he creates with his lack of border policy, or with his negligence at the border policy, the insanity at the border policy, we're finding that it's working its way into the systems everywhere. Like this, for instance, our Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen issued a press release today. I happened to see it right before I went on the air, and I went ahead and got it ready for me to use. Secretary of State Wes Allen is exposing federal policies that provide voter registration forms to non-citizens. Okay, hello. Let's think about this. Don't want to close down the border too quick because, you know, we got to get, like, voter registration forms in the hands of illegals. What? You heard me. Secretary of State Wes Allen, who's been on the show many times, he says, we have received complaints from concerned Alabama voters who received voter registration forms in the mail addressed to a deceased relative, and those voter registration mailings are not coming from my office. They are coming from state agencies. What? Who's doing this? He's just saying state agencies. Now, later in the article, I think he gives away who it was. He says, current federal policies mandate that anyone who comes into contact with certain state agencies be provided with voter registration information. This policy mandates that non-citizens receive information regarding registering to vote in Alabama and registration forms required to register to vote. The purpose of the federal Voters' Rights Act, as it was originally passed, was never to provide voter registration forms to non-citizens. Later in the press release, he actually says, Biden's attempt to take advantage of the crisis he created at the border by tying the hands of agencies such as Medicaid and forcing them to enact his scheme is disgraceful. What I think he just actually gave away there in the later part of this press release is that Medicaid, which has federal dollars that help supplement the system, the federal match, they call it, that Medicaid is apparently receiving directives from D.C. that anyone you come in contact with has to be given voter registration information. Well, they come in contact with a lot of non-citizens, and they're required then to give them voter registration information. Tell me that wasn't thought out. Tell me that wasn't something they didn't know was going to happen. But the executive order, I mean, is it effective? Is it going to do anything good at all? Is it something? Is it better? Is it like one of those better than nothing kind of things? I don't think so. In fact, Border Patrol agents are already speaking out. Story here on the New York Post. Border Patrol agents believe that President Joe Biden's last-minute executive order to limit border crossings is way too little too late. He's already allowed millions to enter the U.S. illegally without consequence. This is off the New York Post. They interviewed apparently five, and they remained anonymous, so I take some of those things with a grain of salt, but I suspect it's probably true. They didn't want to lose their jobs, so five border agents told the Post that the president's inaction for 3.5 years has already resulted in irreparable damage to the country's national security, and they feel like the latest measure is just all for show. One of the guys says, it's like trying to plug the leak on the Titanic with chewing gum. It's way too little too late. He's trying to act tough on the border, but we know he's been the most open border administration ever. That's a Border Patrol agent, allegedly. Another one says, what a joke. Like that's going to stop him. He can act whatever he wants. Until we deport everyone that crosses or imprison them, it won't stop. Border Patrol agent, until we deport them or imprison them. They know. They work it every day. Another one said, way too little, too late. Nothing more than virtue signaling. And a fourth one said, this is comical. Millions are in the U.S. now, and it's just now they realize the number of crossings every day is a problem? The damage is done. Now the administration wants to slowly close the valve on the floodgates. Well, I got an audio clip for you. Big Ray, I'm going to use that other audio clip of the guy standing there by the border. So CNN, I believe it's CNN again. Is it CNN? Can you see it? I think it was CNN.
NBC.
NBC, thank you. NBC had a reporter at the border who was giving his opinions on whether something was going to be effective regarding the executive order. Listen to what he had to say. Go ahead.
Based on the details of this executive order and how it actually functions that we've learned so far today, I actually have to say I'm quite skeptical that this is going to have any kind of immediate, widespread, dramatic impact on the border, on the number of migrants who are crossing the border, and on the number of migrants who managed to stay in the United States as a result. And there's a few complicated reasons for that. But the main one is that I and a lot of other people were expecting that this authority to, quote unquote, close down the border was going to be dependent on the United States being able to summarily expel migrants with no due process, no access to the asylum system, immediately back into Mexico shortly after they cross. That does not appear to be the case, mainly because Mexico has not agreed to accept any more migrants than it already.
Our border security should not be contingent upon another country's willingness to participate. Just stop them from coming in. I know I'm oversimplifying. Phil, it's a little more difficult than that. I get it, but look what Texas has done. Do you know, and I've got it in my stack here if I can get to it. The reality is this. Texas has made a massive dent in the flow of illegals. And they've all shifted to like Arizona and California. You're still seeing them coming to Texas, but not near the record numbers we saw before. Why? Because they actually put up border security measures. I don't care what Mexico wants to do about deportations. We'll figure that out later when Trump takes office, because you know Biden's not going to do it. But for the time being, get this. Apparently, walls and barriers actually work. Play it again.
He does. Mexico has pretty strict, specific requirements on the number of migrants that it accepts and on the nationality of migrants that it accepts. And the U.S. cannot simply return people to Mexico without Mexico's active participation.
Okay. So Mexico has to actively participate. I mean, I guess I get that. On the one hand, we got to land the plane somewhere, right? We're not going to kick them out over the Gulf and say swim ashore. But here's the bottom line. We have got Mexico allowing them across. We have Mexican cartels trafficking them across. We have Mexican cartels digging tunnels and floating rafts and actually shooting at our own security from the far side of the far banks. How about this? Mexico, we don't care rat squat for whether you want us to fly them back to you or not. How about in the meantime, stop being a lawless failed state and maybe police your own side of the border? And oh, by the way, we're going to bring them back to you. Here's an idea. Let's just go ahead and establish a beachhead and start just bringing them back in and dropping them off. It's not going to happen, but you know what I'm saying. We are at that point. If this is going to be the largest deportation in world history, as Trump promised, and I hope it is, if it's going to be the largest deportation in world history, Mexico is going to have to get on board because some of these folks are coming back home to them. And then, you know, here's the thing. There's a way to strangle them. Do you know how much money flows back to Mexico? Did you know that one of the largest driving forces of revenue to their economy is money wired back from America? Literally, wired back from America. You can go and look, in whether it be Western Union or any one of the, and I've forgotten the name of it, I'll look it up in a minute, but wiring money back to Mexico is a driving force in their economy. If you want to shut off the tap on the ability to wire money back so that people who come here to work and then send their money back home, listen, I got news. You're going to wind up making a dent. They're going to come around real quick. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll take care of that. How many do you want to take back this month? Well, what do you got? That's where we are. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back to this break and we'll wrap up this topic. I got a bunch of text messages. We'll try to get to some of them. My word, this is a hot topic. Bordering on insanity. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Listen, something came up a moment ago during the last portion of this segment we're in. We're doing number one, triple dipper, bordering on insanity. I made mention of the fact that there are ways to put a stranglehold on Mexico. I mean, certainly there are. You can make them feel the pain of their recalcitrance. It just takes a little political will to do it. How about this? I mentioned a minute ago that I remembered reading, and I've had it on the show before, but it's been quite some time. I remembered reading that remittances, which is what they call them, money sent home, basically. They call them remittances. Money sent from out of the country to accounts in Mexico. Last year, story from San Diego's, was it Fox 5 in San Diego? Last year alone, more than $63 billion were sent to Mexico in remittances, of which 96% came from the United States. Good Lord. $63 billion, that's 96%. So you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $55 billion or more from the United States. The vast majority of that is just folks who come here to work sending money home. And I get it. That's how they're feeding the family back home, right? So got to send, you know, send home to take care of grandma and mamacita and all the whole family. I get it. You're taking care of folks. And they're here and they're hardworking. Some of them are complete slugs, but some are here hardworking. But you strangle the ability to send that money home or tax it. I'm just saying. And, you know, here's the deal, Mexico. We're going to start deporting big time, and you're going to receive them. And you're going to help us get them back to their home countries. You know why? Because they had to pass through you to get to us. So, hey, Mexico, here's the deal. You better freaking set up a reception camp. You better get your border under control. Oh, by the way, you apparently have $55+ billion a year that floods into your economy, and we're about to choke the crap out of it. I like it. It makes me happy to think of it. And I don't know why it hadn't been done yet. I'm beginning to question whether or not certain states could do this on their own. I don't know if they can, because there's such a thing as called a burden upon interstate commerce. You can't just choke off something in one state that, you know, impacts the ability of other states to do business. So I imagine there's trickle-down effects. But what if the state of Texas, what if Alabama, what if Arizona said, you know what, there will be no wiring of money from our states? Guess where all the illegals would go? To the states where they could wire from. They just would. Or they would have to set up accounts like a Wells Fargo or something that has accounts, and you know, you can access it anywhere. Online banking is going to make a lot of this easier. All I'm saying is this. A lot of the places where you go to actually wire money, like Western Union or Banxico or whatever, just say, you know, there will be nothing from this state wired out from those sources. You'd slow some stuff down, let me tell you. All right, let me jump back on this and sort of wrap this thing up. I do want to point out, too, that one of the things that we're dealing with right now in this bordering on insanity situation is the crime. Phil, they're not all criminals, says the liberal. I understand, but the ones that are a real problem. Story from CNN. Phil, you went to CNN again? I did. Story from CNN, Dateline just yesterday. Two New York City police officers shot by an undocumented migrant. There you go. It's like all the time now, isn't it? Bernardo Raul Castro Mata, a 19-year-old from Venezuela, who we're now finding was part of an organized crime syndicate or a gang of some type. A 19-year-old from Venezuela opened fire on two officers when they tried to stop him for riding a scooter in the wrong direction in Queens. Well, God bless him. They were trying to stop a guy from riding a scooter in the wrong direction, and they got shot at? What the? I mean, come on. Riding a scooter in the wrong direction, and they get shot at. Or shot, actually. The officers were treated and released from the hospital the same day. Castro Mata entered the U.S. illegally through Eagle Pass, Texas in July. He was confirmed by CNN. He was released and ordered to report to immigration court, where his case was dismissed. Oh, that's right. I forgot. The Biden administration just dismissed like 350,000 of these immigration cases. Just summarily. You know why? Because they didn't fill out the paperwork correctly. And so, bureaucratic nightmare. Now we got to just wipe out a whole bunch of them. You know what it really did? It changed their numbers. Now they can say the backlog is getting cleared. No, it's not. You just dismissed the cases en masse. And one of those guys just shot two of the NYPD's finest. Listen, so all said and done, I mean, I've got more stories here. I could go into, you know, what the state of Arizona is finally getting sick of, and the people are putting something on the ballot. That's huge, because the state of Arizona has got a liberal governor, Katie Hobbs, for a governor, who is just no help whatsoever. In fact, when her state is suffering under massive, you know, influx of illegals, her go-to is to call for the federal government to come help, knowing full well they won't. And then I've got a story here that I may still have to do after we get back from the break. But, you know, there are NGOs, aid groups, who are on the other side of the border hiding behind the banner of their faith to help escort people to the United States. I'm pretty sure that Romans chapter 3, verse 8 comes into play somewhere in there. where it says that basically you cannot commit sin and then call it good. Well, I don't care if you're a Jewish, Catholic, or a Protestant Christian faith raking in millions of taxpayer dollars. All you're doing is creating a pipeline for illegal immigration across the Rio Grande and the Sonoran Desert. So listen, the Heritage Foundation has been doing a big report on this. I won't get to it right now in detail, but all these stories and more are on the Right Side Radio website. You can go to it. Go to the live stream page. There's a button that says resources. You click on resources, you'll find all the stories that I just rattled and even the ones I didn't get to linked right there for you. It's like your daily news sourcing that you can pull together from and get ready for the show or read thereafter. But folks, bordering on insanity, that is where we are. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back from this break, I'm going to be jumping on a bit of jackassery. Holy smokes. Lord, we got a buffet of jackassery to go through. And then coming up top of the hour, don't forget Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama, and I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, and by the way, folks, let me just jump in here and pause for a second. And I want to give you guys something big to think about, all right? So this is a crazy world, and yet you're working hard to plan for your future, to stand up for your beliefs at the same time. But what if you found out that in the middle of doing all that, that some of your investments were actually going to things that are absolutely contrary to what you say you believe in? Well, maybe it's time for y'all to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. I'm talking about financial planning that considers who you are and what you believe in. These are solid local experts using biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your returns, doing so in a way that has real impact on your bottom line and the world in which we live. Y'all, this is what I call financial freedom. So if you want to know more about what's in your own portfolio, I'm about to give you an opportunity to get something for free. If you want to know more about what's in your portfolio, go online and get a free impact report at www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. That's Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. You can also find their logo on the sponsors page at rightsideradio.org. Click on that sponsor logo and you'll heck them straight to their website. Yeah, conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, listen, I'm gonna take some text messages, and then do I have a phone call? Okay, I'll get that here 1 second. David from Huntsville says, it's off topic, but he says, New York Attorney General Bragg says he did his job when he prosecuted Trump. Does this mean a turning point for the AG to start going after violent, hardened criminals in New York? I doubt it. Steve from Tennessee, that $55 billion to Mexico is only the legal money going that way. Many covert bucks. I agree with you, man. If we can find a way to get hold of it, do. Just seize it. Badger from Athens says his executive order, Biden's executive order, only seems to deny asylum after so many per day. Doesn't stop. That's right. You're exactly right, sir. As I was saying earlier, if you just get below the threshold of what's allowed and stay there, it can still be 1.2 million people. That's 90, I think it's 930,000 just on the numbers allowed. And then you've also got all the ones who use the app are okay. They can come on too. And we're seeing like 1,500 a day on those. So we're looking at 1.2 million plus. Ruminating Rocker from Flint Creek. I love that name. The Ruminating Rocker from Flint Creek says, since the Dems are counting on the non-voters voting, that poll is a very big deal to them. Yeah, it really is. And then Robert from Ardmore says, at 1 million a year, that's the entire country of Honduras in a decade. Wow. 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 Let me jump on the phone. Is that Jeffro? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
Not good.
Not good. Why?
Yeah, well, a two-hour wait yesterday on a trailer tire, and now today I'm going to be here over 2 hours waiting for a trailer to come out of Birmingham.
Well, brother, somebody, who do you need me to roust for you? You need me to roust somebody? You need me to call them out? I'll call them out right now on the air.
Well, set a fire under, well,
never mind.
Somebody. They wouldn't. They just burn up, I think.
So what do you think about it? I tell you what, what's your idea about how we do something about the money being wired back to Mexico? What do you think about that?
Well, I guess you would have to have all foreigners. Unless, you know, there's got to be some way of doing it that you can have to show that this money has been, the taxes have been paid on the money before you can wire it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Well, we got so many thousands and thousands of IRS agents now. I mean, what are they doing?
they're coming after you and me. That's what they're doing.
Oh, that's right. Our money's legal, isn't it?
That's right. That's exactly right. The whole thing's it's insane though. And I look at this, and I've said on the show before, when Biden first started signing his executive orders and changing Trump's policies, I thought, okay, policy difference. Then it got really bad, and he didn't make a change. I finally came to the point that I believed it's all intentional. Every bit of what we're looking at is an intentional effort to open the border.
Oh yeah, a blind man could see that from day one. The way they you know, what else would you rescind all of Trump's things for that was working if you wasn't going to do this intentionally?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, but the thing about it is I'm not worried how many's coming in, going out or whatever. That's going to happen anyway. I'm wondering how, when Trump gets back in here, how are we going to get him out? Would you have to, because the courts are going to fight you tooth and nail on all this stuff. You know, I think that, you know, unless you come in the right way or come across a legal point of entry and everything, anybody who come in illegally has to go back, period. I mean, whether you got to send them out to an island in the ocean and people won't take them back or whatever, but they can't stay here.
Well, you're just being mean now. Now you're just being mean. I mean, you got to at least allow 2,500 of them for 7 days in a row before you get down to that point, man. That's the way it works. Don't you understand? Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes you got you know, the big stick, you know, you got to get people's attention and everything. It's like, well, next time somebody comes in and wants to open the borders up and say, huh, maybe I better not go up there. They're going to leave me stranded on an island somewhere when they kick me back out.
I look at it and think, okay, maybe this is going to wind up being the issue that unhinges it, but it's definitely the issue that's got the most attention with the American public. It's right up. The economy and immigration are the two things that are driving the train in terms of, you know, people's polling about how they feel about the state of our nation right now. And I don't know if you caught the part I had earlier, overwhelmingly saying they support Trump over Biden now for handling the border, which I guess makes sense, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is we're going to have to fast-track some stuff. We're going to have to fast-track the census, because if we start counting all these people on the next census for representatives, it's not going to be good. I mean, there's several things we're going to have to do, and we're going to have, I don't know if we'd have to declare martial law to get out of the court, because the courts are going to fight you for years on this stuff. So it needs to be some kind of way where you, if you come in here illegally, you're going back, you do not get a court case, you do not, you know, pass go, you do not collect the $200.
Or at least can't wire it back to Mexico. I agree with you. I think, but here's the thing, I think it's going to have to be legislative action that makes it official, because the courts are going to find a way to turn over a executive order. But if Congress has acted and passed something and the president has signed it, which means we got to take back the House and the Senate. There's just no way around it. If we have Trump in the White House, but he can't get anything through the legislature, we're going to be doing this endless, you know, death cycle for God knows how long. Hey, man, I got to move on. I got some other things I got to handle here. You be safe on the road, all right?
When I get there. Have a good one, Phil.
All right, same, man. Russell from Rural Route 1 again says, don't forget the ones that they're flying in. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Like up to 30,000 or more being flown in. Like they're out there somewhere in Haiti or whatever else, and they start feeling bad for themselves, and they just decide, you know what? I'm going to get on that app and say, I need help, and they'll send a flight. Uber's coming to get you. Tyler from Huntsville says, the IRS is coming after the little guy. They're threatening to levy my assets, he says, over 2,000. Wow. No, I'm sorry to hear that, man. Jeez, Pete. And then brand spanking new in the text line without a name. Oh, it's Randy from Florence. I'm sorry. He's already in there. You've already got his name plugged in. He says, for anyone who's indignant about how our government is acting, your classic rock song would be Who Made Who by AC/DC. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Listen, I had a dipper I was about to start. I didn't get to it. I don't know if I'm going to get to it now. Big Rig, I'm going to blame this on you. Okay.
How's it my fault?
I won't blame it on you. I wouldn't do that to you. No, I just, I don't know how in the world I could possibly get a dipper in when I come back from this break. Tell you what, let's take the break and I'll work it out. I've got a dipper called Jackassery, and it's got stuff in it, man. There's so much Jackassery out there right now. We'll see. We'll see. But the bottom line is this. There's a lot of things worth talking about and not enough time in the day. I could do a 6-hour radio show. I'm pretty sure I'd be hoarse, but I don't know that I could possibly even contemplate the amount of Jackassery that is out there even as we speak. You taking me to a break, brother? Are we about there? All right, let's do it. By the way, don't forget, we are on the eve of the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. It is tonight that the very first were going in and the beaches were being filled the next morning. We'll talk about that some tomorrow. Just stand by for that one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.